Coming up on Patriots This Week, 4 years of dressing up with nowhere to go. Now, this Halloween, Jimmy Garoppolo becomes a 49er.
You know, I wish him nothing but the best. I really, really think a lot of this guy. He's got a bright future.
The trade deadline deal comes after the Patriots pulled the plug on the Chargers, earning some well-deserved time off.
Those guys are working hard, and it's paying off, but they're working hard, they're grinding it.
As they turn out the lights on the first half of the season, they know there's much work to be done.
I wish we'd be better, but we're not, but we'll just keep going after it.
We got to improve this week. It's a good time, especially halfway through.
You know, biggest games are ahead of us. So.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
It might be a bye week for the Patriots, but it's been anything but uneventful. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with my radio partner from 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, and Matt Chatham, a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Patriots. And, guys, the week begins before the trade deadline with the shocking news of Jimmy Garoppolo going from Foxborough to San Francisco.
Did he give you his suits when he left?
He's a sharp dressed man.
This is what Jimmy Garoppolo wears on the road. He's a good-looking guy.
He sure is.
Not like they didn't have a good-looking quarterback crew there, but I was shocked when the news came down. I was putting out the lights for Halloween and getting ready and getting excited, and then the phone blows up. I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, because you knew it was a certain deadline, right? The Halloween deadline, you know, you're going to make a trade. If you're going to make a trade, then if you don't, the guy's going to go to the end of the year. And if Jimmy does go to the end of the year and he doesn't sign an extension here or re-sign, you know, then you're talking compensatory picks. And I think that's what ultimately pulled the trigger with Bill. Like, he's too valuable for me to give up for it.
That's, you know, we talked about this early in the year, and I thought sort of the tea leaves with the Jacoby stuff would predicate that this couldn't happen, right? I mean, I just think it felt like
yeah,
at the time.
When they dealt Brissett,
that would have made, yeah.
Okay, they're going with these two guys.
Yeah, that basically is going to tell everyone that, okay, whatever we thought, the speculation on what had happened, they kind of told the story for us then. And they got to the point where it looked like, oh, you know what, this might be untenable. If you're having this conversation in August and you're trying to negotiate with a guy, and it looks like, hey, yeah, reasonably Tom was going to play a couple more years, but he plays gangbusters for half a season, all of a sudden it looks like, hey, he might play till 45. How do you negotiate in good faith a contract with a guy like that? How do you convince him that, you know, you're going to be a quarterback for this team four years from now? It's really too tough to do.
When you have two quarterbacks, when you have three quarterbacks, you have none. And Brady has given you zero indication that he's falling off. Yeah. You know, when they drafted Jimmy, the 3 years prior to that, Brady's numbers sort of started to go down. But I think if you look at it deeper and you go back to that game out in Denver where you're throwing to Austin Colley and Matt Slater and company, that was more predicated on lack of talent around him.
Right.
I guarantee you that Jimmy motivated Tom, that you don't draft a guy in the second round and say, yeah, we're just bringing a guy in to add depth. You're bringing in the guy in the second round because you think he could be an expert.
Well, I think it's important, too, to acknowledge that things have changed, right? Tom looks like he's 2, 3, 4 years from that. So the formula changed. When they drafted Jimmy, it made sense because it was reasonable to think that a few years from now they'd be dealing with it. Now it looks like that calendar's been pushed back another 3, maybe 4 years. So it's starting over. So it's not who's going to take over for Tom next year. It's back to developing a guy, quite frankly.
But as we refer to Bill Belichick's more recent statement in the wake of the trade regarding Jimmy Garoppolo, good person, good player, great teammate, very fond of that quarterback, said the quarterback situation in New England the last 2.5 years in his mind was the best in the NFL, but it was unsustainable.
When Bill talks that way, it's for real. And we've had the opportunity to be around him for 3.5 years, and any one-on-ones we've had or any production meetings, the kid's a good kid. And I thought Bill made a really good point. Not only are they getting a good person, but he's going to get a good coach.
Yeah.
And I think that was important to Bill. And Bill said, I spent every week with him. You know, I met with him every week. So he's been nurturing and developing him. And you just don't want to take all that you put into this one player and just say, just cast him off. You also kind of want to help. It's like, put one of your own out. You know, you got kids, I got kids, you got kids. And I'm saying, but it seems like this was different. This was unique.
Tom Brady's still playing at close to max level, if not at max level, coming off another win over the Chargers, another 300-yard performance, but not necessarily an efficient performance for the offense. They relied on 6 field goal attempts by Steven Gostkowski, good play by special teams coverage units, and they grind out a win over the Chargers.
Best special teams unit as far as 60 minutes that we've seen take the Gostkowski misses out of it. Not that it's always on him. It could be a hold, could be the win. We don't know that. He did hit a couple kicks, but I thought Ryan Allen had a good game, and he's been struggling with it.
Yeah, the coverage units were huge. I think when you look at special teams, that kind of as Zoe touches on it, it hits under that whole umbrella. So, yeah, Gostkowski missed a couple kicks, but he made four. And I think that underlines what's the bigger problem. Why in the hell are you kicking six kicks in a game with this offense? That's the point. So I think the bye week couldn't have come at a better time, because you get a deep dive and sort of self-scout and figure out, okay, these plays aren't working. And sometimes it's not just play call. Sometimes it's execution, and that puts it tough on the coach. You go out there and say, well, you drop it. How do I know if I should call that again? You know, you just didn't execute the play.
So how do you fix it? When you address it during the bye week and you evaluate where you are and how you improve upon it, how do Chad O'Shea, Josh McDaniels, and that coaching staff address it?
Well, I think first and foremost, you look at the trend that's sort of been heading this way, and I think it's the usage of the running backs, the health of Burkhead, getting him back. Gillsley looks good when he runs, but Deion's kind of emerged as your number one guy. James making guys miss out in space. Maybe some more screens. I'd love to see the screen game, the old Kevin Falk screen you were talking about. Nothing easier for a quarterback than drop back five steps, fade, hit him for a 1 yard pass, and let him go 20 yards.
I think the
line can block that really well. Scar's got him.
Yeah, there's playing well. Good space blockers. I think what you, I'm guessing, but I know if we were facing it as a defense, the thing that helped you is low percentage plays. So maybe some of the fade stuff. You know, let's get the stuff where it's high percentage, I'm sorry, to go away. Get the stuff that you know you can execute quickly. It's great that Gronk can be an ISO guy and catch back shoulders and things like that.
Pick some out routes, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How about out routes? No one on earth can cover this man on any kind of in or out breaking route because of his length. So it's just going back and saying, hey, this guy, he hasn't gotten enough of these routes recently. Let's hit on that. And you can go right down the line. It's not any one particular person, but what's his best play? What's his best play? What do we protect best? What do we run best? And start running that stuff. It's really easy.
Well, they got a screen, a rub play involving Gronk for a touchdown and Jacob Hollister. Do they also need to get the second tight end, whether it's Hollister or Dwayne Allen going in that regard?
I just don't think they're going to be a two tight end team. I mean, I guess probably your answer. I mean, yep. You can, he's on the
Chip
team.
Sell.
Yeah, he's earned his right to Hollister to be on the roster, and he'd give you a play or two a game. He made a nice catch last week at one point. I just think this team looks like it's trending towards an 11 team, you know, three wide receivers on the field and just the one tight end, or more fullback plays with Devlin.
This defense over the course of the last 4 weeks, with this team building a four-game winning streak, has held the opposition down. What signs of improvement, even without Dante Hightower, did we see Sunday?
I hate to admit it. I mean, Jonathan Jones is playing well, whether it's on special teams, whether it's knocking a ball at that great throw Rivers had to the fading receiver on the post corner. Jonathan Jones is playing well. I think Malcolm's playing well. Trey Flowers is coming on. Yeah. And you're kind of dosing the linebackers like you need to. You know, Van Noy's got a pretty good skill set, and your safeties are tackling. They're all playing well.
And they've got roles. I think that's, you know, you get eight weeks in, you start to figure out what guys can do well. David Harris with a 20-plus rep day. Van Noy on the other side of that. Roberts with a more modest rep count, but a high level of production when he's in there. Love seeing David Harris run down and just blow up the back.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. You know, just
the guy.
Melts the guy and just walks through his puddle on the way to the quarterback. That was great. So, again, you're starting to find guys. It's not a group of 11. It's a group of about 17, 18, 19 that roll in and contribute.
Yeah. And in a way, they get a trade acquisition in that they trade Shay McClellan's inactivity for his activity coming off of injured reserve sometime in the next week or two.
Any hot take?
You have
right
to
there.
Think.
That's hot. That was great. And he's flexible, and that's the important part. You look at all these guys, they can play a lot of roles well.
Yep. Got to try to keep it hot. So we talk about, you know.
Wow, there he is.
Still have the Facebook radio, though. What can I do? Don Banks is back with
TV.
Our bank shots right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Johnson Batamosi. The Patriots acquired the special teams ace from the Detroit Lions just before the start of the season, and the 6-foot, 206-pounder out of Stanford University has proven to be very special. The 27-year-old has started the last 3 games at cornerback, and over that span, Batamosi ranks 2nd on the team in tackles. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. As we continue on Patriots This Week, shifting to bank shots with Don Banks, our NFL insider, and Don, a flurry of trades by the deadline, maybe the most active trade deadline in NFL history. And Jimmy Garoppolo going to the 49ers, not the only blockbuster, but still a big move by John Lynch and obviously Bill Belichick.
And I think what it says is San Francisco looked at the 2018 draft class, the class that everyone has been hyping for months, and said, we're not in love with anyone. Obviously, the two quarterbacks in Southern California, UCLA and Southern Cal, some people may love them more than the Niners. It also told me that they weren't real confident that Kirk Cousins is going to get to the free agent market and get all the way across country from Washington. So they took kind of the bird in hand rather than the one in the bush.
Left tackle goes from Houston to Seattle, much needed for the Seahawks, coming off a terrific offensive performance against Dwayne Brown's Houston Texans.
I don't know that this clinches the NFC West because I think the Rams are going to be in this hunt, but I really believe that this takes care of the last big glaring weak link in Seattle. They finally put some resources into that offensive tackle position that they tried to scotch tape together for the past 3 years. And I think it really gives Pete Carroll's team a leg up. I know this. I'm feeling a lot better about my NFC preseason pick of Seattle to go to the Super Bowl.
Meanwhile, though, the current frontrunner in the NFC, Philadelphia, did not get a tackle to replace Jason Peters, but did get a running back in Jay Ajayi from the Dolphins.
And I think this puts them in a commanding position, not that they already weren't. With that kind of division lead, I think it's 2.5 games. Look, they have 2 games left with the Cowboys. So the Cowboys might still have something to say about it, but within 24 hours, you get Ezekiel Elliott subtracted probably for 6 games, and you get Ajayi put into a Philadelphia ground game that was already ranking in the top 5. I think this gives the Eagles the type of hammer running game that can close out games in the second half when the weather gets bad in the NFL.
There's also the deal that did not take place officially. And we talk about the Browns week in, week out, and the futility of that front office and that organization. They apparently had worked out a deal with Cincinnati for A.J. McCarron, but somebody forgot to dot the I's and cross the T's.
First of all, how is it in 2017 that we still have paperwork to file? You've heard of DocuSign? Look, this is how the Browns stay the Browns. But to me, this is chapter one when someone writes the book of the follies that the Cleveland Browns have been since they re-entered the league since 1999. This is a quarterback you're talking about. A day after your head coach, Hugh Jackson, let it be known that he really wanted Jimmy Garoppolo at some point.
We're at the midpoint of the season. Who's the MVP at this stage?
So many candidates. I mean, you really have to look at Alex Smith. You have to look at Carson Wentz. Tom Brady shouldn't be forgotten, but I think I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. Best player on the best team at the moment in the midseason.
How about Coach of the Year?
I like both Sean's, both Irish twin Sean's, McVay and McDermott. But I'm going to go with Sean McVay because I think the Rams were further down than the Bills, and he's brought them back to respectability.
The most dominant storyline at this point, is it on the field or off?
It has to be the off-field player protest. The reaction from the president, the basically circling of the wagons by the league and the players against what the president said that night in Huntsville, Alabama. Look, parity has been a huge storyline as well, and certainly this is a jumbled kind of mashup in the middle of the league in terms of competitive races. But I do think that the story of the players' protest and the social activism has to be the story of the year.
Don, as always, thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
When we come back, Matt and Zoe will talk about Sean McDermott and the job he's done in Buffalo right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show at the bye week. Bye week doesn't mean go shopping, but if you do go shopping, we really don't need to go shopping for any more gunners on the punt team. Take a look at this Benjamin return, the one for the safety right here. Great directional kick. Freeze it right there. Now, okay, you're at the 1 yard line. What makes this play go? It's not only King right here, but it's going to be Jonathan Jones. See, you got Slater and Trell technique. He's already at the one. So it's not the momentum taking him into the end zone. Go ahead and roll the tape right there. Jones forces him back in. There's no chance for him to get in the middle. And then you have the convergence of the tackles. Abner, you got 6 guys around the ball. This is the way you flip field position. Good directional punt. Did I mention he's a left-footed punter? Freeze it right there. Boom. Here's Jones in your screen. That's the one player that made this safety call right here. So he's there. He's got inside containment. Outside, you come in, and you get a good simultaneous safety call by the two safeties. There's your Zoe Show at the bye.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue on Patriots This Week with an overview of the AFC East coming off that Thursday night matchup of the Bills and the Jets. And the Bills, nonetheless, with a new head coach, with a new GM, off to a terrific start this season. They acquire Calvin Benjamin. This is a team that adds to its offense. That's a nice piece for Tyrod Taylor.
Heading up there in a couple weeks, and we know Bills Mafia, the fan base, will be ready. That team might now be ready. And they've added pieces. They've acquired guys. And it seems like they got the right guy leading the ship. Not to say that Rex wasn't right, but it seems like those guys weren't really listening to what Rex was telling them to do. And this guy's got all their attention. They're playing well. What are you going to say? I mean, Buffalo can be a contender in a division. You got to take care of them when you get up there.
So there was a time, I think, in the year where the Bills looked to, you know, go bare bones and try to rebuild this thing from the ground up. Now they acquire Calvin Benjamin. It looks like, okay, drop a vet, add a vet kind of thing. I think his fit is similar to how it is in Carolina because there's a lot of recess plays in those offenses. There's a lot of the quarterback keeping alive, big guy go get the ball. Benjamin has not been as sharp on just transitioning in and out of routes. He's more, you know, the schoolyard stuff. It breaks. Yeah. He goes and gets the ball over the top of people.
Yeah, they said, too, Le'Veon Bell is the best back in the league, which I do agree. I think he is the best back, overall back, as far as catching and running. But McCoy, Shady McCoy.
Pretty good guy.
Pretty darn good. Pretty good.
Meanwhile, speaking of backs, last year the Miami Dolphins, in large part, rode the back of Jay Ajayi into the playoffs, getting their running game going, and now he's going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't think he's a great teammate. He's a really good back. We've called games against him, and I like the way he runs. He's a good transitional runner. But there were problems with him early last year, Miami, where they had to sit him down.
Yeah.
And you get players like that that open their mouth continually in the locker room, you get rid of them. And, you know, Gase has got a job to do. His job security is based on making a good football, having a good football team in Miami. And that stinks for them because I thought Miami was trending in the right direction. Good skill people, good back. I thought Cutler was going to be better. I was wrong on that. Their defense just isn't playing like they were last year.
Yeah, and Adam Gase looks to be doing a little of the thing that McDermott has done, except he's kept him higher up on top, but sort of clean the locker room out, you know, kind of getting his kind of guys in there. He actually made a comment about preparation, you know, guys not preparing enough, the guys not being ready to go on game day, not enough attention to detail. And when you start hearing things like that, then they make a transaction. Probably connected.
Now, as far as the Jets are concerned, things have changed win-loss-wise. They're still putting forth great efforts.
Yeah.
Couple missed field goals contribute to their loss to the Falcons last week.
I like their defense. I think the defense plays hard. They remind me of the Chargers defense. You know, good edge guys, good motor guys. They tackle. Jets are okay. They just don't have a great quarterback. Yeah. You know, you need that guy, man. They really do.
Yeah, I just feel like they're going to be plucky. You know, they're going to continue to grind out a few wins, and I think
it should be done by the time of
season. Yeah, I don't think they'll be a competitor at that point. And to be honest, Miami's right on that edge, where some things will happen here in the next couple weeks. You decide if this is a two-horse race.
Last year, two teams from the AFC East got into the playoffs. When we come back, Matt and Scott will give you their predictions for the second half, who we might see in the postseason, perhaps, right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Back on Patriots This Week, Matt Chatham. Pats reached the midpoint at 6-2, second half of the season. Where do the Patriots wind up? Who joins them in the AFC playoff field if you think they're going to get there?
See, I think the Patriots are going to be right there at the end, and I think we've now seen enough of some of the other teams to know who they are as well. Half the season, injuries will dictate where they finally end up, but the Chiefs are that team for me. I've seen them challenged enough in enough different environments, enough different types of teams, and they've met those challenges by and large. I think they're built for the long run. The defense is playing well. Offense is more explosive than we thought. They're tested. I think they'll be there.
Chiefs have a lot of talent. They really do. I think they have the most team speed that the teams are left. Patriots are obviously going to be in the playoffs. I think it's a three-team race in the AFC. It's the Patriots. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have figured things out defensively. They got great offensive talent, and it's going to be the Chiefs. Chiefs will somehow find a way to implode, and they're going to either be here or Pittsburgh will be here for the AFC championship.
I
Well, the Patriots are going away from here for five of the next six, including a crucial matchup with the Steelers down the stretch. But first up, it's Denver, and we'll talk about that game next week.
Sounds good.
For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. So long, everyone.